table within our hearts. So in order to have God sit at our table, the table of our hearts, we need to clean all the junk off, right? All the stuff that shouldn't be there. And you know what? If you pray to God and ask him to show you what should be there and what shouldn't, he will. And if you ask him to take it, he will, as long as you're willing. And then you need to have God clean the surface of your heart, clean the inside and the outs of your heart, and put things that are supposed to be there. Okay, there's certain things that shouldn't be there, and there's certain things that should be there, like verses. Okay, thine word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. And then once your heart is clean, once the things are there that are supposed to be, you can fellowship with the Lord, and he'll fellowship with you. You know, it's awful hard. We've tried it. Me and Veronica have tried to sit at the table when there's just stacks of everything. And it doesn't make for a pleasant experience, you know? It doesn't. So if there's things there that shouldn't be there, you need to get rid of it. And I've gone to restaurants before where they'll take all the plates and everything else that whoever was sitting there used, and the busboy forgets to wipe down the table, and there's little pieces of rice and everything else. You don't want to sit there, do you? Or you want to have it clean, at least, because you don't want other people's stuff there. So that's the best way that I can explain it. I hope you understand. But it's no different than what we should do with our hearts when setting the table. Go ahead and turn to Matthew 22, verse 37. Matthew 22, 37. Says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Notice the first one listed is the heart. The heart is the first one listed. What is in your heart is what you truly desire. What is in your heart is what you truly desire. And there goes my notes. Good thing I'm done with them. What is seated at the table of your heart will be the driving force in your life. Do you want to be like Christ? Ask yourself what is in your heart. If you want to be like Christ, you'll find out what is seated there. If you are constantly intaking junk into your life, then you are setting the table, not for the Lord, but for Satan to work in your heart. So ask yourself, who do you set the table of your heart for? What kind of preparedness do you take to walk with God? What kind of preparedness do you take to fellowship with God? Back in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 2 says, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add unto thee. We just read verse 1, let thine heart keep my commandments. If you do that, length of days and long life and peace shall they add unto thee. So if you were to ask an unsaved person, what do you want besides money? They'd probably say a long life, a peaceful life. So that is what the desire of most people's hearts are, besides sin, okay? Because of our sin nature, we would want a life that is peaceful and a long life. If you want that, have a clean heart. Have a clean heart. The right desire is to be close to God and to want what he wants. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Colburn preached in Isaiah 38, and we learned that God gave Hezekiah more time because he prayed, and if you read it, it says from the heart. He prayed from the heart, walked with God in truth, and it says with a whole heart. Okay, if Hezekiah would have prayed with half a heart, not really into it, God probably wouldn't have gave him more time. So we can't serve God with half a heart. We can't serve two masters. Hezekiah got more days because he had a clean heart. He got more days because he purposefully walked with God in deed and in truth and in heart. He set the table of his heart so that God would have room to come sit and to fellowship with him. He prepared his heart so that God would meet with him. Then verse number 3, Proverbs 3, verse 3. We'll just read the first half here. It says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. You know what? Mercy and truth have left many people, and many people, to be honest, have chosen to leave it. Okay? There's no mercy if we just looked at abortion, right? There's no mercy when people kill millions of babies each year and are fine with it, right? That ought to upset you. There's no mercy when people are murdered by the hundreds around the world each day. Nobody has any mercy, okay? But Christians ought to. Christians ought to have mercy. There's no mercy when you can't even have a different opinion, right? And we know all about that. So ask yourself, we look at that and say, wow, how could those people have no mercy? But if someone does us wrong, do we have mercy on them, right? Someone lying to me and me not forgiving them is no different than abortion and murder and everything else, right? It's no different. So we shouldn't look at it like it's different. So why would God have mercy on you if you can't have mercy on other people? Why do you expect God to be forgiving of you when most times we ourselves can't even forgive other people? And then it says, the first one is mercy, let not mercy, and then truth. Let not truth forsake thee. Also today, there's no mercy, there's no truth. Everyone wants to believe what they see as the truth, whether it's actually the truth or not, because they don't care to know. They don't want to know. They just want to do what they want to do, and they're right and everyone else is wrong. Okay, and they don't care about truth, especially God's word, which is the way, the truth, the life. Go ahead and turn to Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21, verse 2, this sums it up pretty good. Sums up the world and how it is nowadays. Proverbs 21, 2, it says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Okay, so man can think that they're right all that they want, but God looks at the heart. And he compares it to what is actually right. Not what you think, but what is actually the truth. So do you care about God's truth in his word? Has mercy and truth forsaken you? Are you not a merciful person? Are you a truthful person? So let's just stop and think about for a moment what could be seated at the table of our hearts if God is not there. Okay? There's all kinds of things. Envy, bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, wrath. The list goes on and on. Okay? Again, the table of your heart is never void. There's something always there. And if God isn't there, what is? Back to Proverbs 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Does your heart have any mercy at all? Okay, what is mercy? Mercy is compassion and forgiveness, whether it's deserved or not. Compassion and forgiveness, whether it's deserved or not. If you are a person that has mercy on people, what it means is if someone does you wrong and you have the ability to retaliate in any way, shape, or form, you choose not to. Okay, you choose not to. That's mercy. So you can't tell me that you're a Christian and then in another breath say that someone deserves whatever bad happened to them because of what they did or what they said. Okay, that ought never to come out of our mouths. Okay, if we really tried to be Christ-like and we really tried to have a clean heart, no matter what someone did to us or what someone said to us, we would be forgiving of them. We would have compassion on those people. The ultimate example we already know is Christ on the cross, right? Christ on the cross. He was willing to ask his Father to forgive the people that just beat the living daylights out of him, whipped him, put a crown of thorns on his head, and nailed him to a wooden cross, right? He was willing to forgive those people. And then the thieves on his right and on his left, he was willing to forgive them too, and only one asked for it, right? So do you want to know what God sees as truth, or do you just want to go about doing your own thing your own way? Does your heart want truth? A lot of people don't like to hear the truth. Ain't that right, Ronald? A lot of people don't like to hear the truth. But the truth is what people need to hear. As long as it's biblical, right? So, if God is seated at your heart's table, then mercy and truth is going to be there also. And you know what? It's not just a one-time thing where you clean your heart up and ask God to renew a right spirit in you and everything. It happens every day, okay? It's something that you have to purposefully do every single day. Doesn't matter how many times Mia Veronica cleans off the kitchen table, the next day it looks even worse, right? Sometimes it doesn't. But it's a daily thing. Okay, I know that's a silly example, but I'm real life, okay? I like to relate things to real life, okay? So 2 Timothy 4, verse 3, if you go ahead and turn there. Hold your finger in Proverbs, say we're going to keep jumping back and forth, like I said. 2 Timothy. Chapter number 4. And verse 3, talking about truth, says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." Verse 4, "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." So if you want a clean heart, you're going to search out the truth. And you're having a good start because you're in church, right? Hearing God's word, which is the truth. But if you want a clean heart, you're going to search it out. Don't just believe what I say, right? Don't just believe what any pastor that you hear say, or anybody for that matter. You need to search it out for yourself in God's word. So don't turn away the truth whether you like it or not. Back in Proverbs 3, it says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck." In verse 3, "Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tables of your heart." You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read Psalms 119, verse 11. It says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Again, "Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart." How do you write mercy and truth upon your heart? How do you do it? Well, Psalms 1 is a good place to look. Go ahead and turn there with me. Psalms 1, verse number 2, says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." In his law doth he meditate day and night. So how do you write mercy and truth upon your heart? You do what Psalms 1 verse 2 says. So you memorize scripture, you meditate on the scripture that you memorized, and then you utilize the scripture that you memorized. So memorize, meditate, utilize. Read the Bible, memorize the passage, think about what you read, right? If it deals with a specific thing that you're struggling with, then when that thing comes to your mind or comes in front of you, you can utilize the verse so that you don't end up doing what you shouldn't do. It sounds so simple, but it's really not, right? Because sin is sin, right? We all have a sin nature. But we need to memorize. The very first verses, actually, that my mom had me memorize was Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. And I can still say most of it to this day. I get a little caught up on the 5th and 6th verse. I get a mix. But it's good to remember scripture so that you can fight temptation. Fight temptation. There are a lot of things, moving on, there are a lot of things written on people's hearts. A lot of things that are seated there that shouldn't be. But listen to Hebrews 4, verse 12. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read it. Hebrews 4, 12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and joint and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Okay, if there's something in your heart that shouldn't be, ask God to show you what it is. And maybe even you know what it is and you don't want to give it up. But if you read the Bible, he'll point out things to you. Shouldn't do this. Shouldn't say this. Right? If you read the Bible, it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. A discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So what is written on your heart is what you really want. What is seated at the table of your heart is what will be the driving force in your life. So ask yourself, what is seated there? Whatever is seated there, some people might not see, but God knows. Again, God looks on the heart. So would it change anything if other people could see what is actually on your heart? I thought about getting a piece of paper and writing sins on it and actually attaching it to myself. Just for the example, to show that you might be able to see what's on my heart based on my actions, right? Based on my words. But if we could actually see, if I could see what's on Ronald's heart right now, would it make a difference whether you think that or not? Or whether you do that or not? Probably not. Maybe not. It depends on the person. But some people wear their heart on their sleeve, okay? Meaning, basically everybody can see what they think, right? And so on and so forth. For everybody to see. And some people are better at hiding it, okay? So would you be ashamed to tell someone what is on your heart when someone upsets you? Would you be ashamed to have somebody see how you respond to your kids when they are acting wrongly because of the full moon that we just had? I know it just wasn't my kids. Would you be ashamed for somebody to see what's on your heart when they make you mad or when they wrong you? You know what we need to do? We need to keep the word of God on our heart so that when our heart starts to desire something that is wrong, you can use God's word to discern whether it is right or not, just like Hebrews 4:12 says. Whether the intentions are pure or not. Okay, I can't judge what your heart's intentions are. You can't judge what my heart's intentions are, but God can judge. And God knows, and someday you'll be judged accordingly. Okay? God looks on the heart. So many people in today's day and age, right, in the Corona 2021 here that we're in, people are worried about having clean hands, right? But they're not really concerned about having their heart clean, right? They're worried about inhaling an airborne virus, okay? It's an airborne virus, at least that's what they say. But they have no problem taking in filth, right? Through music, TV, internet, right? They're preparing their heart for something based off of what you intake, okay? Through media and other things that I'm sure you could think of. So what you take in during the day determines who is going to be seated at your heart. What you put in front of yourself determines where you go, what you do, what you say. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's what God's word says. So just some examples here. If you were a drunk trying to be sober, why would you go to a bar, right? You wouldn't, unless you plan on doing something that you shouldn't. If you struggle with things on TV, why have a TV? If you struggle with looking at bad things on the computer, why would you have a computer? Why would you go and sit at the computer, right? There's all kinds of things that we do that we know we shouldn't do because we know that something might come up or that we might end up doing something and we put it in front of ourselves anyway. You know what that's doing? Preparing your heart for Satan to reign. Preparing your heart for Satan to work in your life instead of the Lord. If you struggle with anything that is wrong, why do we put it in front of ourselves? Why do we put ourselves in position to sin? We should not. Setting the table is preparing to fellowship. Okay? Set the table of your heart so God can sit there and dwell in your life so that you can be salt and light to other people. So the first step, again, to have a clean heart so God can sit at it is to get rid of all the junk that's piled up there. Once you do that, there's room for stuff that should be there. Thy word have I hid in my heart. God's word and mercy and truth should be in your heart. And room for the God that should be there. There's a lot of things seated at people's hearts that shouldn't be there. There's all kinds of things we could list. Money, work, you name it, right? There's all kinds of things that are sitting where God should be that ought not to be there. I've noticed, again, relating to Corona, that cleaning supply sales have gone through the roof. It's almost impossible to buy, back when this started, it was almost impossible to buy hand sanitizer, and then Everybody started making it, but it's impossible almost to buy cleaning supplies. But people don't take time to ask God to give them a clean heart, right? We ought to care more about having a clean heart than being clean where everybody can see, right? Because if your heart's clean on the inside, then people will be able to tell. They'll be able to tell. Psalms 51, verse 10, it says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Ask God to give you a clean heart. You can't get a clean heart on your own. You can't. Ask God to give you a clean heart. James 4, 8, "Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts." So, I'm not knocking anybody, just so you know, if you buy every cleaning supply there is at Dollar General, that's where I go to get my cleaning supplies. Now, I'm not knocking you if you take 4 showers a day, right, so that you don't get coronavirus. It's whatever. But if the world, and if we as Christians, honestly, cared as much about cleanliness of the heart than of our hands, then there'd probably be a revival, right? If we cared about God as much as we did food, sleep, money, work, etc., there might be a revival. So there's things that we need to worry about. There's things that we ought to care about more than we do. So before you do something, before you say something, you ought to think, would this please the Lord? Would God be pleased with what I'm about to say or with what I'm about to do? So how do you get a clean heart? Well, you ask God to give you one. We just read Psalms 51:10. "Create in me a clean heart, O God." You have to ask God to give you one. And again, it's not something that you just do one time. It's a daily thing. So ask God to give you one. Number two, ask God daily to search your heart and to show you the intents of your doings and your wants. And that's in Hebrews 4:12. We read that. The only way to get rid of the stuff on your heart's table is to ask God to show you what needs to go. Right? I can't decide that for you. You can't decide that for me. God decides. God shows you. And number three, purify your hearts on a daily basis by asking God to forgive wrongdoings. In James 4:8, we read that too. "Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts." So it doesn't matter how much the table gets cleaned, right? It's bound to get dirty again. Like I said, happens every day. Then number four, meditate, and utilize God's truth in his word like they're the blueprint of how to live, because they are. And then, after that, you can commune with God, right? Make God the king of your life. He's the one that deserves to be seated at the table of your heart. He's the only one that deserves to be there. And if anything else is there, well, you better pray and ask God to take it from you. Dave, would you come?
Thank you, Jake. That was excellent. Let's do this real quick. Let's sing a song. We'll have Matt come, do announcements, and close our service out. Somebody asked for this song beginning of the service. Seems to fit service today. We'll sing in your hymnals 224, "Heaven Came Down," talking about that time when the Lord first sat at the table of your heart, that first time when we asked Christ to save us. That's how clean our heart should be, as Jake was saying now, as clean as it is when God first saved us. And he can do that if we confess our sins and ask God to him from sit back at the table of our heart. That was a great message, Jake. Let's sing verses. We'll do the first and the last. 224.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I'd wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the needs of my heart. Shadows dispelling what joy I am telling, he made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down in glory, filled my soul. Now I've a hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day when at the cross I believe. Riches eternal and blessings supernal from his precious hand I receive. Heaven came down in glory, filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down in glory, filled my soul.
You may be seated, Matt.
Well, good morning, everyone. Jake, you talk too quick. It's not even 11:30 yet. The pastor will never go away again if we let people go home before 11:30, so I'm going to have to talk really slow. Okay, I'll talk faster. John and Romans Project is coming up. We've got 27 days before it happens. We are two-thirds of the way to our goal of $3,500. We have about $2,200 that have come in so far. So be praying for that. It's March 26, 27, 28. We have a schedule out. It's going to start at 3 p.m. on that Friday. We're going to have a rolling dinner. I had to ask clarification of what a rolling dinner meant. And I think it just means we're not going to stop for dinner and have an official dinner. Is that correct? Okay. There's going to be food, and it's going to be eat when you're hungry. You take a break, eat, and go back to working on the books. That's going to be Friday night, and then Saturday we'll come back at 9 o'clock in the morning. We'll have breakfast, and we'll continue working on that and finish that up on Saturday. And then on Sunday, is Brother Sandy having the service that Sunday like normal? Okay. He'll be, and then we'll bless the books that we created over the weekend on that Sunday. So it's coming up. It'll be here before you know it. This coming Tuesday night is Ladies' Bible Study. That's at 7 p.m. on Zoom. The link is in the weekend bulletin. And speaking of Ladies' Bible Study, there is a one-night Ladies' Getaway, which is in May, which is May 21st. The Airbnb, they booked a house in New Hampshire. So that Friday, if you're interested, the deadline to get in on that is this Wednesday, correct? Give or take. But want to make sure the house is big enough to have enough room for everybody to sleep. So ladies, that's May 21st. It's a one night thing. And it's a Friday night. Be leaving about 10 o'clock that morning, headed out to tax-free New Hampshire. You're going to have some, I guess I could have just said New Hampshire, but you're going to have some Bible study time, there's games, fellowship, and of course, if you're in tax-free New Hampshire, and if you're in North Conway, you're going to have to go shopping. So husbands, make sure you have the checkbook with you when she leaves, okay? So that's on May 21st. So like, again, like I said, if you're interested, see Amanda before Wednesday this week sometime. So that way, make sure they have a big enough house that everyone can enjoy that time. And speaking of, again, on the Ladies' Bible Study, there's on that back podium up there, there's Ladies' Bible Study pamphlets. There's also the February missions update is on that back podium, as well as the pastor's weekly update that he does and prints out. I get an email copy as well, but if you want a hard copy, it's there on the podium. Take a copy of it home with you. If you want to, sometimes it's better to actually have it in your hands and read it that way. Jason, would you close us out this morning in prayer?
Ago, Pastor, at prayer time, he had a prayer request that an individual we would pray for that he handed a track out to. And I would just say to continue to pray for that individual. I think his name was Matt, I believe. Regardless, that night he shared with us something that he did. He was in a convenience store and he slid the guy a track. Not a big deal. Also on that podium are some of those tracks that our pastor used. And as an example, I believe we could make those disappear. Last week, we were able to make some of the days of praise disappear, and that was a blessing. It's good that all of us believers can be in the Word. But it's something else that if we can share the gospel with someone that's lost. And I don't know if you remember it, but there was a day a couple of months ago that we had an individual come to know the Lord. And that was because someone invited him and he read the Word and he accepted the Lord as his Savior. He's not here today, but let's continue to pray for him and his growth. But let's make some of those tracks disappear, okay? Let's hand them out. It's easy enough. Hey, just wondering if you could read this. You know, I'll be back a couple days. Let me know what you think. Just let's get the word out there in these times. I know that morning, of course, it made me weep, but the Lord has given me extremely huge tear ducts. And it doesn't take much for me to weep. But when Matt came forward and accepted the Lord, souls in heaven rejoice. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity where we could come together as a church family to learn more of you, Lord. We just pray for continued challenges where we can grow closer to you and become more like you, Lord. We just ask that you would be with our pastor today as he's away, Lord. We pray that souls would be changed there. We pray that lives we would be encouraging to those around us, Lord. Help us not to continue to try to be a light in our community. We thank you for this time together, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.